Breakfast. Jay and Dave, on air weekdays and online now at cfmmackay.com.au.
Recipe to Riches started on Southern Cross 10 last night once again for Season 2. Basically what happens is the winning recipe goes into the 900 Woolies stores around the country, and last night Mrs. Mills Cookie Dough won it. AJ is the chef behind it. G'day, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yes, and certainly lots of squealing and jumping around last night on watching the show.
Yeah. if you missed it last night, Mrs. Mills Concepts took it out. This is what happened. Have a listen to this. It was just a really good moment.
I think there's something interesting in that. So okay. I quite like the idea of Mrs. Mills. So I think you should have a think about that, okay. Whether you like that or not. You're a very attractive woman. You are passionate about what you're doing.
Yes.
And I think that we can reflect that in the packaging. But the key here is, what are you going to look like? So what we've done is we've organised a bit of a photo shoot for you. Yeah? So you can go off and you can actually try different looks, and then we'll see which works best.
Okay.
Trying different outfits. Geez, that would have been a tough ask, AJ.
Oh, it was hard work.
I saw you get teary a few times there. What was the emotion behind that whole thing, AJ?
You know, this cookie dough idea isn't a new idea. I've been working on it for a long, long time. And when I saw that I could enter my cookie dough on a Recipe to Riches and get it into Woolworths, it was like my dream come true. Mm. So seeing it all come to life, you know, it was really emotional, and it was huge.
Now, obviously, you're supposed to roll these up in a little ball and flatten them out and make them cookie, but can you actually just squirt it from the tube itself?
No, it's not in a tube. It's preformed, so they're already rolled into little balls.
Ah.
All you do is take them out of the packet, put them on your tray and bake them.
I don't know if they're going to get that far.
Some people like to eat the cookie dough before it cooks.
Lots of people tell me they eat the cookie dough before it's cooked.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to try it. Now, this is available today, isn't it, at Woolworths?
Yeah, that's right, for 1 week. And it's like every purchase is like a vote for me to take out the partnership with Woolworths.
Ooh. Okay, so this is big news. You're in the final for starters, but you also got 10 grand from winning last night.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. Yes. What are you going to do with the cash, AJ?
Well, you know, we've got three children and Christmas is coming up, and it's hard times all round. So 10 grand makes a huge difference to a family like us.
Yeah, more ingredients for more cookie dough.
Yeah, that's right.
I know what everybody's getting for Christmas this year is cookie dough. All right. Well, I'm going to be voting for you. I don't know what other products are still to come in the following weeks, but I did like yours last night. I was tempted by the brownies as well, but I got to say, I had a soft spot for your cookie dough. So we're going to vote for you today. And best of luck with your future there, AJ.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
If it's making entertainment news headlines,
now that's entertainment.
It's in Access All Areas. And if it's not, it's about to.
All right, last night, very quickly, Mark Holden was eliminated from Dancing with the Stars. Thank God he's gone. He's a weirdo, that guy.
Weird.
Mrs. Mills was the winning concept last night on Recipe to Riches.
So that means we're speaking to AJ today, are we?
AJ will be on the air later this morning with us. The country is still talking about the passing of Gough Whitlam.
Well, may we say, God save the Queen. Because nothing will save the Governor-General.
Passing away yesterday at the age of 98.
He had a pretty good innings, didn't he? 98. Almost made the ton.
I think there's a national or state memorial service being...
there'd be a national one. Wouldn't be a state.
National there is being organised for him. And it wasn't that long ago that he lost his wife, so...
Yeah.
They're saying that he, sort of declined down after Margaret passed away.
Right. So. Well, good on you. I mean, he was a charismatic Prime Minister, wasn't he? He was only in power for 3 years.
Well, some people saying one of the best ones that we've had, so...
Yeah, look, I can see that. He's not my personal favourite, but we'll go into that a little bit later.
Let's move on to something just as interesting. Would be The Bachelor. Now, have you been watching the project on Southern Cross 10?
Yeah, I kind of got glimpses of it last night because I was out to dinner last night.
Well, the whole nutshell and the bombshell is, they were engaged on the show, they broke up, he's saying, she's saying. Last night on the project, Sam Frost reacts to Blake's claims that she told him to keep quiet about his relationship with Louise.
I had suspicions that he was interested in somebody else because he'd said to me that, the top four
he had invested a lot of emotion and feelings into that. And then when I raised my suspicions with him, he just flat out denied it.
So you didn't say to him, when you do the interview with the project, don't tell them about Louise?
I never, ever, ever said that. I would have certainly preferred him to say that because I don't think it would look bad on me at all.
I heard somewhere that the runner-up, Lisa... Yeah. He hit on her after the show had finished as well.
He contacted her and said, is there a future for us?
Well, he actually called me after the finale and he said that he was quite upset with, you know, everything that's gone on. And I was giving him a bit of support but still letting Sam know that he was in contact with me. And then he asked me if I still had feelings for him and if I could see a future with him.
And what did you say to him?
I told him to get lost. I said, how dare you say that to me? And how dare you ruin the friendship between Sam and I? If you wanted to choose me, you choose me as your number one, not your number two. I would never be second to anyone.
Oh, feisty.
What is going on? Like, literally, his parents... Because I remember seeing his mum and his auntie on the show.
Yeah.
When they were meeting the two girls that he could have married.
Sure.
And they were, like, so proud of him. Are they so proud of him now? I just don't understand this whole thing.
I'm sure there's more to come.
Oh, wow. That's the latest in Access All Areas this morning. We'll have more on Oscar Pistorius being jailed for 5 years after 8:30 this morning. The country is in a day of mourning today for the passing of... Gough Whitlam yesterday at the age of 98.
Yeah, Bob Hawke, the famous Labor leader as well, he paid tribute on A Current Affair last night.
This is not a time for sadness because Gough wanted to go. He really wanted to go. His family were ready for him to go. So tears, not something that occurred to me at all. It's a time for rejoicing in a great life because there is no doubt that the life and work of Gough Whitlam to say... has made Australia a much better country today than it would otherwise have been. That's not something to cry about.
When you look at things, we've had some pretty decent prime ministers over the years, haven't we?
If you had to choose one, who would it be?
Oh, that is a tough question.
No, one prime minister. Not looking at a political sort of sense.
Yeah.
We don't want to go into politics. If you had to look at one person who was, I guess, approachable... Who looked like they were doing a lot of work for our country, who was, paving the way, who would it have to be?
I'm going to look at paving the way, okay? And there's a choice between John Howard, who was in power for 11 or 12 years, and Gough Whitlam, who was only in 3 years and did just as much. You'd have to think Gough Whitlam, wouldn't you?
So that's your favourite?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
If you call us up, 132710, we're looking for your favourite Prime Minister. Mine would be Kevin Rudd.
Kevin Rudd? Hmm. Just because of the fair shake of the sauce bottle.
Oh, I think he was, it was a lot of fun. He was a fun prime minister. He was always up for a joke. Prime minister who picked the wax from his ears and ate it is okay by me.
Yeah.
He was a real kind of guy.
Oh, you had to bring that up, didn't you?
Your favourite prime minister, 132710, doesn't have to be for Liberal. Can be Labor, can be anyone. Give us a call.
Hey, Dan, on 132710, actually, we'll go to Robbie first. Robbie, well, which one was your favourite?
Bob Hawke.
Bob Hawke. Was that because...
he's a true blue Aussie.
Yeah.
He was going to get a public holiday for the race day.
Melbourne Cup.
America's Cup.
Oh, America's Cup. Back in 1983. That's when someone placed a jacket on him, an Australian flag jacket.
That's right.
Yeah.
And true blue Aussie.
Any Prime Minister who can scull a beer is okay by us.
Yeah, yard glass.
It wasn't just any old beer, was it? All right,
thanks Robbie. Robbie. What about Dan on 132710? Dan, mates, which one was your favourite?
Paul Keating, mate.
Paul Keating, why?
Oh, it was just beginning of my year and growing up, I suppose. Mm. I never found anything wrong with him. I knew that everyone had an opinion about him, but no, I liked Paul Keating more than most of them.
He was an approachable kind of guy, wasn't he? Like, he was always up for a bit of a laugh as well, I think.
Yeah, nice. Like how fast forward used to take him off.
Yes, those rubber figures, yes. I was going to ask you about that, but you've obviously beaten me to the punch. They were hilarious.
Oh, mate, they need to bring something like that back.
Yes.
It's funny.
And have one for Tony in a pair of Speedos.
Massive ears.
All right, mate, thanks for the call.
Have a good day, mate.
See you later. Karen on Facebook says, our Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, at the moment has been the best one so far. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Good on you, Karen. You're valued your opinion, yeah.
I think the Speedos might have pushed her over the line.
That's right, okay. I thought it was the big ears.
Let us know on our Facebook page. Your best Prime Minister that we've had so far. You look a little bit tired, Dave.
Yeah, a little bit. I had I guess you'd call it a nightmare. It involved you as well.
Oi.
Yeah. You want to hear this? Because this is just a freaked out.
No, it depends on what kind of dream it was.
No, it wasn't. Trust me, it wasn't one of those dreams. No, we were.
But you know, dreams don't often mean what you see in your dream. Like there's a hidden message.
Okay, what's the deal with snakes?
Snakes mean you have
issues.
Yeah,
right.
Let's just say that. What happened in the dream with snakes?
Well, this one, we were hosting something at a park or something, and there was no. Stage or anything, okay? It's one of those banks areas where people can usually sit down.
Like a kind of sound shell
yes.
set up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we were just rocking up there and there was one lady and...
Medusa, yeah.
No. There was this big, massive snake, like a python of some sort, and it had a big bulge in it. And that was on the side and I'm freaking out because you know I don't like snakes much.
Yeah.
Just like just about everyone else.
Yeah.
And... all of a sudden, there was another one that came up and grabbed a lady in front of us.
Wow.
And started to chew down on her. So there was another one that looked like the first one with a big bulge. And then all of a sudden, the first one, it was just laying there doing nothing, really trying to digest this this thing inside it. All of a sudden, this lady pops up its mouth and walks out, a little old lady. Like a tiny little old lady.
Well, you know, they
what does
are,
this mean?
They are comfort for travelling in snakes, so you just use them as like a caravan.
No, but the thing is, I was screaming like Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. You know that high pitched scream?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just. I'm still trying to figure this dream out, seriously. This weekend, Global Grooves is back at Queen's Park. Make sure you get out there if you've never been there before. It's a massive festival. And Gemma Carey from Mackay Regional Council, who organises all this, it's going to be another big program this year. Yeah, Gemma?
There certainly is. We're really excited about the program for this year. So we changed the times running from 12 till 8 this year to give people a bit more time in the shade, and I think we're really going to enjoy the day.
So for those people who are new to town and they don't know what Global Grooves is, in a nutshell, how would you describe that, Gemma?
Global Grooves is basically the coming together of a great number of community groups in the local region. So we've got some groups from the Australian South Islander community, Pacific Island, Pai, the Philippines, Mackay Maltese Club, Italian Association. Basically, they all come together and they're trying to share their culture with the rest of Mackay and really get everybody together to try the food, watch the dancing, listen to the music and just celebrate with a really great day.
Gemma, geez, I'm glad you mentioned the food.
Let's face it, like it's our chance to taste like the cuisine from right across the globe, isn't it?
It really is a favourite part of the day. Everybody really looks forward to the food. I know that I certainly do. And the guys are really, you know, so great with their menus and really sharing the traditional type foods that you just don't get in restaurants these days. So, yeah, it's really, really exciting time for Sunday.
Now, last year at Global Grooves, you had the kids dressing up in the different flags from around the world. Is that happening again this year?
Yeah, we do. We have the National Dress Parade, so members of the community could nominate and register to share their traditional dress, whether it's, you know, something cultural that they wear for a wedding or it's just some everyday wear, something that can be found in other countries. So they share that with everybody and it's really great.
So the child who gets the lucky dip draw for Australia comes out in stubbies and thongs, right?
Pair of thongs.
Yeah.
Where we are yet to have anybody actually put their hand up and dress in traditional Australian wear. So,
what?
You know, if you guys would like to nominate yourselves, we'd love to have you there.
I don't think there's a pair of stubbies big enough for Dave. Now, and we've got a couple of special guests, even from My Kitchen Rules, Elle and Jake from a couple of years ago.
Yes, we have last minute, Elle has actually not been able to attend, but we do still have Jake coming and he's been working really closely with the Mackay Maltese community on the menu. So really looking forward to see what they can produce for everybody. And that's at 3 o'clock in the demo tent.
All right, well, we're going to have to calm our farm, isn't it?
I think that's
a that what he says?
Calm your farm, people.
Calm
Gemma,
your farm.
Gemma, thanks very much for joining us. It's going to be a great day at Queen's Park.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks, guys.
The clouds are dispersing on the relationship between Louise and Blake. Everything's going nice guns for the cute couple. Did you see them last night on the project?
Yeah, caught parts of it. Sam is still saying no. She didn't have any idea that they were a couple before that. You know who I feel sorry for? Who's in the middle of all this?
Yeah.
That will be Lisa, the runner-up.
Yeah, she literally was ditched in Africa for Sam at the time of the show.
Yeah, yeah, and Sam and Lisa have actually formed a really strong bond, but she's stuck in the whole middle of all this.
Yeah, she was a bit emotional last night. Actually, there was a bit there where she went on a... Like, she had a bite in her tongue when you heard her say, I'm not second to anyone.
If you wanted to choose me, you choose me as your number one, not your number two. I would never be second to anyone.
That's because the Blake Garvey, the Bachelor, called her saying, hey, do you want to go out? Yeah. After the show had finished.
I feel sorry for Sam, though, like the person who is surrounded by all this controversy. Because remember when she was on that big rampage, she said, you know, you've taken away... Because she wanted to be engaged and married once.
Yeah.
And basically said to Blake, you stole that from me. I wanted to be with one person. I wanted to settle down with the one person. I wanted to be engaged once. I want to be married once. You stole that right from me now.
Right.
All because of a TV show.
See, look, I think that's a bit far-fetched. I mean, you've got to experience love at least once or twice before you get married. That's the way I look at it anyway.
What are you saying? That you can't marry your first love?
No, of course not, no. You've got to love and lose a couple of times over before you get married.
No, you don't have to. There's a lady in our office, our pay lady. She married her first love. They've been together. They've got two teenage kids now.
Yeah, but that was a fluke. That was a one-off. You don't hear about those situations.
A fluke?
Yeah, you don't see those situations all that often anymore.
Yeah, you do. I know a young couple in Brisbane who I went to school with. They were in, like a couple in school, and everybody said, oh, they're going to marry each other. They are married now. They've got two kids.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. There's two out of, what, how many people are in Australia? 20 million?
If you've married your first love, like if you literally have met your first boyfriend, your first girlfriend, and you married each other, or you've been together for donkey's years, and you've never had anybody else in your life... 13, 27, 10. Let's put Dave to shame. Let's prove the fact there are more than two people in Australia who have married their first love.
See, I can't see we're going to get too many people ringing up, if any. Because, I mean, it's not that
just
common.
Just because you've had broken love.
Yeah, it's not that common, though. Like, your first love, you know, you've got to experience love and then lose them before you actually find the right partner for you to spend the rest of your life with.
Would you look at that? The phones are ringing. We're going to take your calls after Train. Tracy, now, you've married your first love, yeah?
Certainly did.
Okay, so when did you meet? How did it all come about?
We met in year 9 and year 10 at school.
Okay.
Went to school together and, stayed together. Got married after being together for 7 years.
Okay.
And been together 22 now.
Oh, look, see, I told you.
Yeah, that's well done, but I still reckon that's just like it's not exactly the norm, though. You got to admit that, Tracy.
Come on.
True, but, you know, there is lots of people out there that are like that.
I agree with you. We've got Don. Thanks for the call there, Tracy. Don's joining us as well. Don, have you been married to your first love?
I have. I met my wife 42 years ago.
Hey. Okay.
Okay.
And our 25th wedding anniversary is this December.
Look, Don, congratulations to you, but you got to see that as an abnormality.
It's not.
No, it is. In this day and age, that's...
Exactly right, Don. Why, Dave?
Because you've got to experience and lose love to find the one that you're actually supposed to be with for the rest of your life.
No.
Well, I'm 53 now and I'm quite happy and I don't think I want anybody else because it'd be too hard to claim.
Donnie, I'm with you, mate. Congratulations, mate. I wish I was lucky enough as you to find my first love first go. Thanks for the call there, mate. Sonia, did you meet your first love? Are you married to your first love?
Sure did.
Mm.
How long ago? Okay.
I met him when I was 14, 15, and we've been together 27 years later.
Told ya.
Right, okay. I guess it's a little bit more common than I actually thought.
Yeah.
See, I thought this was abnormal.
No.
Yeah, well, there's not many of us around.
Good morning, teen. How are you?
Yeah, good. I was just reading up about, you know, how you were talking about the first love before?
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandparents were actually married for 64 years.
Hey, see?
And they were first love and never had anybody else in their life. So.
Yeah, it used to happen in the old days, but these days it doesn't, does it?
Well, I met my husband as well, like three times from the time I was 16 to the time I was 21.
Mm.
And we've been married 20 years as well.
See, it does happen. I think Dave's just a bit bitter. That's what it is.
He's cynical and nasty.
Teen, you're kind of right there, actually, yeah.
You need to go on Tinder or something.
That doesn't help.
Oh, wow. When he's got no success on Tinder, you know you're in trouble. Yeah. Thank you, Teen.
Bye, guys.
See you later. You've been burnt, my friend. That's a burn. I'm writing that down. First burn since I've been back on holidays.
Okay, yeah, all right. What's the date today? 22nd of October. Must admit, it's good to see you back at work after a 2-week spell.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, second day back. But I noticed on your Facebook page, and you told me off air yesterday what you got up to.
Yeah.
During your break.
There was a few things. Cleared the house, went camping for a while.
I want to bring up the gardening bit.
Hey.
What's the deal there? All of a sudden, you've got your brand new house, you know, you've had it for 2 years. All of a sudden, you've gone, I've got the green thumb now.
Anybody,
what's going on?
Well, it takes a while to try and plan these sort of things. And when you're busy, I didn't really realize that when people say, look, I've got a house and I just don't have enough time to do things. It's so true. Like, you literally need to take a break off to do the things that you need to do, like clearing out spare rooms and creating gardens.
Yeah, well, a lot of people will relate to the gardening bit because there's some fantastic gardens around Mackay on the Whitsundays.
I've learnt from the best. My partner's mum is very talented when it comes to gardening.
Really? So, has she won awards?
Yes, she has.
Wow. Mm. So you've gone for the big guns.
Yeah. Better Homes and Gardens, I'll expect a call.
don't get ahead of yourself, okay?
I created... what you need to do, if you're going to create a garden, here's some really good advice.
Yeah.
Go to Mackay Reuse and Swap Facebook page.
Yeah.
You can get some great stuff for free. There are so many people on there trying to get rid of things for free for you to use in your own garden.
I was going
to
ask you, because you can sometimes, like with Better Homes and Gardens and everything, they get all these plants and it's worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go that far.
No, I got free plants.
Wow.
Free plant. And then I found this massive... Actually, it's funny because the photo that I found of this lady out near Dolphin Heads, she had this big... which looked like a bird bath thing. And that's what I wanted, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, that... Actually, no, it didn't look as big. It looked small on the photo. I'm like, yeah, I'll pick that up, thanks. Yeah. She's like, you know, come and get it. So went over.
Here we go.
And this thing, I kid you not, weighs a ton.
Yeah.
Like, and it is, like, up to my belly button. And I'm a tall guy.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can pick that up. And I went to pick it up, and this lady laughed at me because I couldn't even move it. Like, that heavy. So, put it in the back of the car, weighed the car down from Dolphin Heads to Rural View, where I live.
Jeez, that's all right. At least you know no one's going to nick that one off your front yard, are they?
Some people said it's an eyesore, but I love it.
Yeah.
Free plants, free bird bath.
What about all the gear that you have to have, like a shovel and the hoe and, some knee pads and everything for yourself?
Borrowed all of that.
Did you really?
The only thing I had to pay for was the soil.
Oh, okay.
So I put in a delivery with some soil and it was delivered to my house. And, yeah, so on a budget, the garden looks amazing.
Just quickly, I know you've got the budget, the garden and everything, but is it an edible garden? You know, like the veggies and everything?
No, not yet. That's coming. That's down the track.
Oh, you're getting right into it,
aren't
you?
These are all succulents and they're hardy plants, Dave. You see, I've been a long-time gardener. And
well, here's the thing, actually, and I'm going to bring this up because there's a running bet within the office on how long these plants are going to last because we've all seen the state of your lawn.
Yeah.
I've pegged it at about 7 months.
Not even that. 7 days.
You're not too confident, are you?